We are so happy to be with you again this Sunday morning, as we are each Sunday morning at the same time. We count it a privilege to come into your homes to spend this half hour with you. If you have your Bibles now, will you please turn with me as we continue our study through the Gospel of John? Now, we've had three. This is the fourth message on the 14th chapter here of the Gospel of John. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the 14th chapter here? And we're going to spend some time now on the Holy Spirit. But we're going to examine a couple of things in depth here this morning, especially one thing, and that is the examination and the teaching of the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. Now, notice here, if you will, and let's look at this in the 14th chapter. Notice here in verse 17. In verse 17, the Word of God tells us here about the Spirit of truth that is yet to come, which is yet future. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. That means acknowledges him not as God. Christ not as God. Therefore, you are not a believer. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit of God. Neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Referring, of course, to the day of Pentecost, yet future. Now, notice here in verse 26, if you will, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Underline teach, because this is so important in the counterfeit day that we're living in before the Antichrist comes on the scene after the rapture of the church. Even now, the spirit of iniquity, it does work in the world today. The counterfeit of the Holy Spirit being counterfeited by demons and demonology, and many of satanic tricks are being played in this world today that are driving the world mad. There seems to be no explanation. Haunted houses and things like that. And yet, many acts that are attributed to God, many so-called healings that are attributed to God, are nothing more than satanic. Why do we say that is? Because, first of all, they do not parallel the teaching of the Word of God. Now, notice here that the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things, and he will bring all things to your remembrance. Now, he is the teacher. Now, remember this. The Bible, and we're going to hold our place here just a second, if you will, because I think this is imperative to look at this. Turn with me in your Bible, if you will, clear back to the end here, and we come to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, if you will, and let's see here what the Word of God has to say. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, all right? And you can read it together with me, if you will. We find out here, chapter 1, verse 20 says this, or I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, all right, tells us this. For the prophecy, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And we find in verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, moved by the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit told these men what to write. He inspired them to write what he wanted. Many of them didn't even understand, as Daniel. He did not even understand what he was to write him, but the Lord said, write it, it's not for your time, Daniel, it's for the time of the end, for a later time than yours, but you go ahead and write it. So he sure did not make up the things in the book of Daniel just to write. Now we go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, and we find out here that the Lord tells us, chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That is, by the Holy Spirit, God breathed. That is, he breathed and gave the inspiration to the men, and the Holy Spirit told them what to write. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction into righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, with this foundation and the Holy Spirit as the teacher, he will never give you a vision or a dream that is contrary to the Word of God. In fact, he doesn't give visions or dreams today, but a counterfeit does. Then you say, how in the world do we tell the true from the error? The only way that you can possibly tell it, if you know the Bible, if you know the teaching of the Holy Spirit, not going by feelings, not going by sensationalism, because many of those are counterfeits of Satan. Many of those are counterfeits by demon possession. But yet, if the experience fits the Bible, then we find out it has to be of the Holy Spirit. He will never give you something contrary to what he's already written. Now, with this in mind, I think this is imperative to look at this. I want to give you a classic illustration found in the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew, if you will. And here is an astonishing thing and a scripture that many times is taught falsely. Now, many times you've heard this, and so have I, and you heard the preacher or the evangelist or the radio preacher say, well, by their fruit ye shall know them, and referring to if you're not leading a Christian life, that's the only way we can know if you're a Christian or not. And they quote this verse, and it's taken out of Matthew chapter 7, and I hope you have your Bibles there with me, because we're going to examine a very interesting portion of Scripture, and you would never know that these people were not Christians unless their confession was contrary or adhered to what the Word of God says. There is no way in the world by looking at their life, because their life counterfeited the Christian. Their life was parallel to the Christian's, but their mouth and their testimony and the things they thought about God and the way to get to heaven was contrary to the teaching of the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. And if you look at these, and you run into this today, I just run into it the other day, and you'll be sitting talking to somebody, well, so-and-so has spoken in tongues, but they love the Lord, they're in church every Sunday, they've quit their bad habits, they've quit this or quit that. And my answer to this is very simply this: you would believe these people were going to heaven until you do one thing. And this is a challenge to each one of you that are listening this morning. You cannot tell, because somebody quit drinking and now they go to church every Sunday does not mean in one iota that they have eternal life. Not that God condones drinking. Sure, He does not want the Christian to drink. But there are many people that quit a lot of bad habits and go to church, but do not acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You can quit all of your bad habits and go right straight to hell, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy as He saved us. And many, many people are religious and have quit many, many things, thinking that's going to help them get to heaven, and they could quit every bad habit they had and never go to heaven. Because even though they quit all those things, who paid for their sin while they were doing those things? Just quitting them didn't pay for it. That sin has to be paid for. Because I quit something doesn't mean, if a man goes out here and robs 10 banks, says, I quit. Well, just because he quit doesn't mean he cannot be convicted and he cannot be found guilty of the 10 he robbed. Well, just because I quit drinking, I'm still guilty of when I was drunk. Just because I quit swearing, I'm still guilty of the fact that when I did swear. Just because I quit it, God does not forget it. The penalty of it still has to be paid. And that's come to the conclusion, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now over here in Matthew chapter 7, this is a very, very interesting portion of Scripture. I hope that you'll read with me and follow with me now in verse 15, and we'll take it very slowly and very simply so that it can be understood. Beware of false prophets. Now, the very first thing is God says there are false prophets, but I want to beware of them because they're going to come unto you as one of you. They're not going to come with a long tail on and have a devil's suit on. They're not going to come as a drunkard, as a false prophet. They're going to come disguised as a church member. They're going to be disguised as the kind of righteous life that you're leading right now. They're going to quit their drinking. They're going to quit their smoking. They're going to quit their bad habits. And they're going to use all the rhetoric, say all the right things that you do as a church member. And yet, inwardly, they're a raging wolf. And they are not saved. They're a counterfeit. Now follow what I'm saying. Because beware of false prophets, and here's how they come unto you to have fellowship with you, which come unto you in sheep's clothing, not wolves' clothing. Now, there's two parts of these people that are described. Number one, the inward part that you can't see. Now, you'll never know what's on the inside of these people until you ask them and get a testimony from them, because if you just look at these people on the outside, they look exactly like you. They're leading the kind of life you're leading. I mean, if you're leading a Christian life. And it says here, they come unto you in sheep's clothing. That means they're clothed just like a Christian ought to be clothed. But inwardly, they are raging wolves. Now, notice here, if you will, in verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Now, what kind of fruit? What kind of fruit? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? No, you couldn't tell them any difference. You could not know them that they are a false prophet by the fruit of the Spirit, because they have counterfeited the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, peace, righteousness, lead a godly life, separated from the world. They come unto you in sheep's clothing, and they come unto you clothed in a Christian cloak. You cannot tell the difference by the way they act, but you can tell the difference by what they say. Now, let's read on down. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Now, what kind of fruit do they gather? This is the fruit of the believer, as to be compared with what kind of fruit are they bringing unto themselves? What kind of fruit are they bearing? Are they bearing and bringing into their fold born-again believers, or are they bringing in people of the cult system that are going to follow their teaching, which is contrary to the Word of God? Because remember, they counterfeit themselves on the outside with sheep's clothing, but inside they're raging and wolves. Their doctrine is wrong. They are false prophets because they are prophesying contrary to the Word of God. And you cannot tell them from a Christian by the way they live, because they are living a good life just like a Christian. And this is the thing that Christians fall for today. They are ignorant of the Word of God, and I'm saying this to many, many Christians that are listening. You sit home, you won't go to church, you've been born again, you've got something in your crawl, why that you've got some flimsy excuse why you can't attend church. You have in your mind you're a Bible scholar because you know a couple of verses out of the Bible, and you know so much you don't need to go to church. And you're the ones deceived. The first cult that comes along that looks good, you'll probably jump on the bandwagon because you don't know half as much as you think you do. And yet you think you know everything. And yet these kind of people are going to come, they're false prophets, they're going to come unto you like a Christian, but inside their doctrine is 100% wrong. Now, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? And this isn't talking about the kind of life they're living, because remember, they come unto you in sheep's clothing. That means they come unto you in a meek. Some will come on with a very meek, gentle attitude. Some will come that are just so kind and nice that sugar wouldn't melt in their mouth. But yet, when you begin to question them, we had a lady at our church one time. And on the outside surface, when the pastor wasn't around, or at times when I was around, why, this lady would never raise her voice. She was just the sweetest little thing you would ever want to find. She was just a sweetheart, you would think. But then come to find out, she peddled her faith healing books. She had them, how you could be healed by this faith healer here and one thing or another, and I read a couple of them, and the woman so fouled up, she didn't know which end was up. Not only that, she's on some other things too, the speaking in tongues and other things like this. But then one time, she let it slip, and the true wolf came out in the woman. When standing at the back of the church, when nobody's around, she really let it fly. Shocked the person who was there to her, that hurt her. Really shocked them. Oh, well, I never thought Miss So-and-so would do that. Well, the truth finally came out. After she, some things had happened, one thing or another, the truth came out what this woman believed. She was here under a disguise. She believed in doctrine that was contrary to the Word of God, contrary to what the church believed, but she went undercover and wouldn't let it be known, only sneaking around, doing it off to the side when people... That's the kind of counterfeit Christianity, my friend, that the wolves will come in dressed in sheep's clothing, and you don't find out. You'll think they're the sweetest little thing that ever walked. Sugar wouldn't melt in their mouth until you begin to find out what do these people believe. And by that kind of fruit, by the kind of people they're dragging into their fold, are they dragging in others to lead them by their faith healing? Are they trying to get them indoctrinated into the tongues thing that they believe? That's the kind of fruit that they're bringing in. They're trying to bring believers in with that kind of manifestation of the fruit of false doctrine, not just dressed in doing things meek and mild, and they'll put that kind of thing on and come in sheep's clothing, and you'll never know the difference unless you know the Bible to test what they teach, and to have a knowledge sharp enough to know their teachings either agree with the Word of God or they're contrary to the Word of God. Now let's go on down. Notice here, if you will, in verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. If they're not bringing forth true born-again believers, then all those works are just going to be burned. There's nothing. Now notice here, if you go on down, verse 21, not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now let's go on and read here, if you will, in verse 22. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not got the Bible out and pulled the text out that we wanted to teach about? And haven't we used it to prove anything we wanted to prove about our cult? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Now the wonderful works correspond exactly to the sheep's clothing. Absolutely. They put on a false front that you cannot tell the difference between a true Christian and a counterfeit Christian until they begin to talk and tell you what they believe. I was talking to a man here just not long ago and said so-and-so was in the tongues movement in one thing or another. But yet now she has quit her this, she's quit her that, and one thing or another. Well, I said, my gracious, knowing one thing to know that she has the counterfeit, no woman ever had the gift of tongues. In the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, there was never a woman, never has been, and you do away with the women in the tongues movement, 90% of it would die because they're 90% women. They're the ones that fire this thing up. They're the ones that go in secret. They're the ones that go underground and are inspired about this. Women are geared emotionally, and tongues fit their pattern 100%. Knowing the Word of God, there wouldn't be a woman get mixed up in tongues if they knew the Word of God. But here's what we're saying. Is simply this. I said, here's what you test to find out, and I'll bet you this. Here's how you test whether she's saved or whether she's not. Now, if she's deceived on tongues when it was never given to a woman and has not taken the Word of God, and remember this now, our text is in John chapter 14, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He will never give you anything contrary to his teaching. Now, when he taught in Corinthians chapter 13, 8 to 10, that knowledge, prophecy, and tongues will be done away with the completion of the Word of God, he will never, never allow that to be reinstituted when he has already done away with it in his Word. He will not give you something that would make his Word void. He will not give you something that would be a contradiction to the written Word he has already written in here, as all prophecy is given by the inspiration of God. It came not in the old time by the will of men. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never give you anything that's contrary to his written word. But the counterfeit will work on your feelings, your emotions, and will seek to counterfeit the Holy Spirit himself. If you do not know the Bible, and you have not studied the Bible, and verses in context, you are susceptible to be deceived. By their fruit ye shall know them. What kind of believers or what kind of people are they getting into their cult? What kind of people are they bringing in? And that's what is spoken about here. The Holy Spirit will teach you according to the Word. The trouble is with Christianity today, and many false Christians have crept into the fold, is they have claimed to be Christians, claimed to have the experience of the Holy Spirit by experience, the counterfeit experience, and not by the teaching of the Word of God. Now, something else sort of interesting. I see our time is actually slipping away. Let's go on up here now and read this again in verse 22 and 23, and it's really amazing. Not everyone that says unto me that in that day, Lord, Lord, and have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name we've done many wonderful works, Lord. We've come in sheep's clothing. And yet the Lord says, now notice this, if you will, carefully. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart me, ye that work iniquity. I told this man, I said, go back and talk to your relation. Ask her one question. If she were to die right now, does she know for sure she's going to heaven when she dies? And I said, you're going to get an answer like, I hope so. Well, I'm hoping to. I think I will, because I have very seldom ever found that tongues and the experience ever believe you're saved eternally or that you go to heaven by grace. It is grace plus works. It is your own good works. It is your experience that you've had. And the way to salvation, when you have one false doctrine in a cult, you'll find it always accompanies that of salvation. If the devil can give you a counterfeit to get you off and make you think you're holy and righteous and godly and all that, he'd love to take you to hell on a heavenly way by your own good works. And yet God said, no man comes unto the Father except through the Son, and salvation is only in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will never give you an experience contrary to the plain teaching of his word. But the counterfeit will. That is a demon. That is satanic. But the way to heaven is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, I see our time's gone. We did want to take a little dive off into that and begin to examine here. The only way you can know the truth from the error is to know your Bible. You cannot know it by sight. Been so good to be with you again this Sunday morning. We hope that you'll walk by faith, read the Bible for yourself, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions, please write us. We're happy to be with you again this Sunday morning. Until next week, may the truth of God's Word keep marching on.